Hello, my lovely spinners, and welcome to my podcast, Spinning a Yarn at the Spinning Barn. Now, whether you've joined me before or if this is your first visit, then of course you are all very welcome as usual. So stop working, grab a cuppa and some spinning maybe, and just enjoy this opportunity to relax for a few minutes. Now, I must apologise in advance. You can probably hear that my voice is a little bit on the croaky side. I have got a cold and I was hoping that it would have disappeared as quickly as it arrived in time for me to make my recording, but it hasn't. So onwards and upwards, as we say. So hopefully I won't be coughing, but I'm still smiling despite the funny voice. So what can I tell you about the month of April here at the Spinning Barn? Well, I've had lots going on behind the scenes here with things planned for the future, as well as doing lots of teaching online. Now, that's a funny one, really, and I'm not always funny, ha-ha, although sometimes it has been. It's been a fabulous way of meeting and supporting new spinners, and I've been thrilled to see real progress being made. I know it has helped lots of would-be and struggling spinners over the past few months, but it can be a bit frustrating for me when I just want to get my hands on the wool and on that wheel just to help properly. But, you know, it's had its place and it's worked, and I know it's going to lead on to much greater things for everybody. So to those of you that have taken part, thank you for that. It's been really good fun and really great to see some faces and see some spinning going on. Brilliant. So I shall be continuing with the one-to-one Zoom workshops in the future. But April has also seen the emergence of the normality that we've all been longing for, hasn't it? So this episode is deliberately a few days late, as I wanted to wait until we'd had our first in-person social spinning group here at the barn. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with this group, it's quite simply an opportunity to get together with other crafters once a month. That's usually the last Saturday of the month. And we share ideas and support each other and spin if we want to, or knit or crochet or whatever one chooses. And of course, we have to enjoy cake at cake o'clock, don't we? It's always a nice selection of cakes, and I can never decide which one I want, even though I've made them all. So obviously, due to restrictions regarding numbers able to meet outdoors, we held a morning and an afternoon group this time, which was a bit of a shame, but it meant that I had to eat two slices of cake. Yes, I know the lengths I go to support you all. What can I say? And I'm complaining that I've put on weight, of course. Anyway, I can't tell you how good it was to meet up again, and I was delighted to welcome three new members, all of whom I know are going to fit into the whole group beautifully. And I'm so looking forward to the end of May when we can all meet together as one group, but still outdoors. So of course I shall be praying for good weather again. And that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? If you remember the last time, I think we were talking about the amount of rain and water that we'd had here at the barn, and it was just affecting the livestock and, you know, the land management. It's been horrendous. This month, apart from a bit of snow at the beginning of the month, we haven't had any rain. I've actually just been outside watering my plants this morning, and the grass just is not growing for the horses and the sheep, which is a real problem. We're still feeding lots and lots of hay. It's going to be a very expensive year, I can tell. But anyway, I'm not going to be doing any rain dances in May, that's for sure. So I'm also happy that my diary is filling up quickly with bookings for in-person workshops. That's from June, actually. So I'm very thankful to all of those people who had to postpone their workshops due to lockdown and who have been happy to wait for the day that they can actually visit and start their spinning experiences. So thank you to you all. It really does mean a lot to me. It's just made me aware that, you know, my business is still going forward. There's been so much that's just been going on, but there's nothing like teaching here in person and welcoming people. So I'm finally feeling more positive, and I can definitely see that light flickering ever closer in that long dark tunnel. So not long to wait now. So what are we going to talk about this month? Well, I've been asked to discuss how to handle slippery fibres, excuse me, which gave me the inspiration to delve a bit deeper into the art of hand spinning silk. Now, I believe that the principles for spinning this slippery fibre will be helpful in understanding how to spin other slippery fibres too, and the reasons why they're slippery. So whether that be animal or plant-based fibres. Now, I'm planning to produce another video soon on spinning silk, so you may like to watch out for that one in the near future, and I hope that that will help you and inspire you too. Now, my preferred way to spin is finely. I like fine spinning. So silk is a fibre that I have started to explore, enjoy, and become quite fascinated by. But why is this fibre so prized? Let's go back to the beginning and consider that the secret of silk production was highly guarded in China as far back as nearly 3000 BC. That's not before coffee, as my James always says. And I understand that there was a great deal of espionage involved in seeing its beauty and commercial interest spreading through the East and into Europe eventually. And one of the reasons I've been reluctant to spin silk in the past is due to the way in which some silks are harvested. So this is a bit of an ethical one, isn't it? And we've all got our own place. You know, I'm vegetarian as well, but I do wear leather shoes, you know. Another subject altogether, isn't it? Maybe not the place for it today. So there are several types of silk to choose from, each with their own properties and therefore more suited to their own specific purpose. So for example, the Bombyx or the mulberry silk, that offers a micron of 10 to 13, which is very fine indeed, and will obviously lend itself to the finest of cloth for prized garments. Whereas Tussa silk perhaps has a micron count of about 22, which in relation to silk is more coarse and with a little bit more added texture. And that's often used in soft furnishings, which may need to stand up to a bit more abrasion perhaps during its life. But if you're comparing that still with wools that we're, you know, so used to spinning, you know, 22 in a wool is actually quite fine, isn't it? So to think that that's actually coarse in a silk gives you a bit of an idea of how that's going to feel. So the harvesting process is slightly different for each, but my understanding of the harvest for the mulberry silk is that the caterpillar inside the cocoon has to die inside the cocoon to prevent damage to the cocoon and therefore to the fibres. So if damage occurs to the exterior of the cocoon, then the fibres will no longer unravel in one continuous length and will prevent the desired fine, lustrous fibre from being extruded correctly. So the fibres are actually covered in a sticky substance called sericin. So to remove the sericin and soften the fibres for extraction, the cocoons are placed into hot water and they are reeled off together. So there may be several cocoons, all being unraveled at the same time, with their filaments being aligned into one long continuous fibre, up to 1,000 meters long. It's quite incredible, isn't it? So one of the reasons that it is so prized and carries a higher price tag is that the moth only produces one harvest a year, as opposed to, let's say, the tussa silk, which can be harvested up to 7 times a year. But as the cocoons are smaller, the yield is significantly less at about 330 meters, I understand. Now, my preferred silk to spin is Eri silk, E-R-I, which is a wild silk and doesn't require the same cultivation and harvesting process as mulberry, but it waits until the caterpillar has naturally emerged. Now that just sits a little bit more comfortably with me. However, this silk is stronger and a little more dense, with perhaps a little less luster. So again, it is just a case of using the appropriate fibre for your project, or find a project to suit your chosen fibre, which is always my go-to rule when choosing wool for a project or a project for my wool anyway. So it's not really any different. You know, the rules are generally the same. So now that we know where it comes from, let's have a think about what it all means in practice for us spinners. So we all know that silk offers an almost weightless fibre with a high sheen, great dyeing qualities, and amazing drape to that resultant fabric. However, as spinners, we must consider the intended use before we embark on spinning miles upon miles of it, because for a big project, you will need to spin a lot of silk. Silk is a protein fiber, but it has long chain molecules which do not allow elasticity in the same way as wool, for example. This means that a garment that's knitted from silk would stretch but not spring back into shape. So it would be better to spin a fiber blend, for example, wool and silk, to give the best of both fibers in one yarn. I've recently been spinning some Blueface Leicester blended with silk, and I have to say, it is an absolute dream to spin. It really is beautiful. As always though, I have yet to knit with it, so I shall just admire it from afar until I can decide what to create from it, but it is rather lovely. It was a really gorgeous experience to spin that. Very, very different to what I'm used to spinning, I have to say. It was lovely. So whether you have yet to spin silk or if you've been struggling a little, then I hope that this is going to help you. I think silk is far more accessible now, but remember to order sufficient for your project, allowing that additional allowance for shrinkage. And if it doesn't shrink as expected, then I'm sure that you'll always find good use for any leftover bits you have anyway. So the fibre can be supplied in a variety of ways. For example, as a brick, which is simply a long, long length of fibres folded into a brick shape, or a top, or hankies. Now, hankies are interesting as these are produced by stretching the cocoon into shape, and it comes apart in layers, offering more texture to your spinning, which I think would lend itself so well to some weaving perhaps. But again, there's just, it offers more opportunities and more variety within one area of spinning again, doesn't it? You know, trying different textures and different types of silks. So there's so much to keep our interest there. And the colour choices will either offer lots of inspiration, frustration, or perhaps even an overfilled shopping cart online, but who's counting? Silk takes dyes so well that the colours are often dense and vibrant, which is why we see silk fabrics in such an array of incredible colours. Silk in their natural states can vary though, and they're affected by the plant which the moth feeds upon. So for example, the tusser moth feeds on oak leaves, and the tannin in those leaves colours the silk from a creamy golden colour to rich browns. Now these can of course be bleached in the industrial process and then is either dyed or you can have it natural, and then it allows you then to dye it your own preferred colour if you choose to do that. So if you're hoping to spin a fine, smooth yarn, then I wouldn't recommend silk noil, as this, as the name suggests, is textured throughout with noils or little lumps. But again, this can add incredible texture to a woven fabric. If you know what dupion silk looks like, that's the sort of texture that we're looking for. It's not completely smooth, but it has a different texture, a different feel all of its own. It's something quite beautiful. I used to sew an awful lot using dupion silk. Always my favourite. I love it. So what is the secret then to spinning this incredible fibre? Let's think about this in a more methodical way. We'll just talk you through it stage at a time. So silk does not have crimp, hence the lack of elasticity or scales on the surface like wool does, and therefore does not stick to itself or felt. And this is why it feels slippery to spin. And thinking generally about slippery fibres, if we're talking about slippery wools, some of the longer wools can feel more slippery, some of the finer wools can feel more slippery. It's just about the amount of scale that is on that particular fibre and whether the fibres can move past each other easily or whether they just grip to each other. Some of the coarse ones you can often see, in terms of wool, you can often see like little hairs, and particularly in some of the primitive breeds, and they just grab each other and they're more difficult to draft, whereas the smoother fibres just move past each other so much more easily. I should be videoing this because I'm actually sitting here doing this, demonstrating it to myself with my hand as I'm talking. I must stop doing that. So to hold the fibres together, therefore, and to prevent them slipping past each other, we need a lot of twist. Now, this is again, it must be tested out to ensure that you have sufficient twist to create a strong yarn, but not so much that your wondrous fibre turns to rope. So consider the ratios of your spinning wheel again and experiment to find the most appropriate for whatever it is you're working with. So remember the rule that the larger the whorl, the least amount of twist which is used to create a thicker yarn, and the smaller the whorl, the more twist is added to create a thinner yarn. If your wheel doesn't have a range of ratios, you'll have to treadle faster to create the desired amount of twist. So again, play around with that and just get into that rhythm and make that new rhythm your norm for this particular project. So you may also need to play around with different spinning techniques to achieve the effect that you want. In my opinion, it is definitely easier to spin silk from a smaller fibre supply. Don't be tempted to hold lots of fibre in your hand. Remember that a little goes a very long way and also helps to prevent any snarl-ups if, for example, you hold that fibre too tightly. Be gentle with it and it will work beautifully for you in return. My preferred method is to spin from the fold in a backward draw. I find that this just allows the fibres to run smoothly and find their place, enabling me to control the twist with ease without the fibres slipping past each other, as they could if I were to spin from the end of the top. But again, don't be tempted to hold it too tightly. It just needs a little guidance over your first finger of your front hand as it travels to the orifice. So what I mean by spinning from the fold is you take a length, so take a staple length of fibre, a small amount, and just I would have it over the first finger of my right hand so that you fold it with one end over, goes over the top of your finger, so you've got two raw ends that meet together, and you spin directly from the tip of your finger. So if you can imagine that the fibres are actually almost folded in half, so rather than taking it from the end of the top where it could very easily pull out from that length because it's still straight, this is almost in a V shape. So you're drafting it from the centre of that staple, and that I think is the key to stopping these fibres slipping past each other. It's a fantastic way of spinning and just controlling these slippery type fibres, but gives a beautiful, beautiful finish in a very controlled way. If you haven't tried it before, give it a go. And again, obviously I'm here to help if you need any advice on that as well. Now also, I know that you probably all know that frustration of when the fibre breaks and you need to join on again. That can be a bit different when spinning silk as opposed to spinning wool. So wool, as we've already said, has scales which help the fibres to grab at each other, and they do the hard work for us, really. That is not the case with this slippery silk, and it's so important to always join two fluffy ends together. So if your yarn is broken and is still very tightly twisted at the end, just open that up and join it to the fluffy end of your fibre supply. Don't try and join the new fibre supply to the already spun silk. You will find it grabs itself so much more easily when we have two lots of fluffy fibres meeting each other. And as soon as the twist is encouraged in there, then that will produce a lovely, strong join. So no matter what thickness you want your resarting yarn to be, the singles should be spun thinly with a high twist. And this will create a strong single thread. Now you may prefer to keep your yarn as a fine single. Perhaps you intend to use it for embroidery thread. Ooh, there's another idea altogether. I haven't been there myself yet. Generally though, if you want a thicker yarn, I would suggest plying at least two singles together. Considering the thicker you would like your yarn, then the more singles you can ply together. And this will add real integrity to your yarn, enabling it to stand up to more wear and tear as well. But as always, you know my rule, test, test, test. get it right at the beginning, and then it'll make your whole project so much more relaxing, so much more fun, and so much easier, obviously. Well, I hope that you found this information useful and helpful, and that you now feel inspired to give silk a go if you haven't already done so before. As I say, there is so much out there that you can just play around with, but you will probably find the smoother silks easier to draft, particularly if you are aiming for that smooth, continuous yarn rather than something more textured. Some of the sari silks, for example, they can be quite difficult. You won't get a nice smooth yarn with those. You will get a completely different gorgeous yarn from those. So do think about what, you know, see what takes your fancy, give something a go and see how it works for you. And if you do, as always, I would love to see what you produce. And of course, as I said before, I am always here to offer help or advice if you need it along the way as well, and also to share your spinning triumphs. Okay, I'm not just here for problems, you know. I want to see when it all goes really, really well. And as I said earlier, you know, over the past few months, I have had photographs sent in, I have had all sorts of contact, and I have seen real progress, which has really kept me motivated as well, which is fabulous, isn't it? So give me some ideas. What do you want to hear about next month then? I've got lots of ideas brewing, but again, this is for you. So tell me what you would like to hear. Okay, so take care until we chat online again, or until we meet up in person again. Either way, I just can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. Enjoy your spinning, especially your silk. Okay, and bye for now.